ஓம் ஸ்ரீ குருப்போ நமஹ. ஹரிஹி ஓம். பூர்ணமத பூர்ணமிதம் பூர்ணாத் பூர்ணமுதச்யதே பூர்ணஸ்ய பூர்ணமாதாய பூர்ணமேவாவசிஷ்யதே. ஓம் சாந்தி சாந்தி சாந்தி. ஸ்ரீ குருப்போ நமஹ. ஹரிஹி ஓம். கட்டோபனிஷத் பார்ட் 2 செக்ஷன் 2 ஸ்லோகா 9. அக்னிர்யதைகோ புவனம் பிரவிஷ்டஹ ரூபம் ரூபம் பிரதி ரூபோ பபூவ ஏகஸ்ததா சர்வபூதாந்தராத்மா ரூபம் ரூபம் பிரதி ரூபோ பஹிஷ்ச. ஸோ வி சா அப் டு திஸ் ஸ்லோகா இன் தி லாஸ்ட் வெபினார், அண்ட் யமதர்மராஜா சேஸ் தர் இஸ் நோ க்வஸ்சன் ஆஃப் ஆத்மா பீயிங் லிமிட்டெட் பை த பாடி, நார் ஆத்மா பீயிங் டிவைடட் are traveling from one place to another. They are all errors caused by association with the body. And Yamadharmaraja gave 3 examples. The first example is Agnidrishtantaha. And in the next shloka, he is going to give Vayudrishtanta. And in the third shloka, he will give Suryadrishtanta. So we already saw Agni Drishtanta in the shloka that we just saw. And now today we will start with the next example, namely the Vayu Drishtanta. We'll read shloka 10. Vayur yathaiko bhuvanam pravishtaha rupam rupam prati rupo bhabhuva ekastata sarvabhutantaratma rupam rupam prati rupo bahischa. This shloka and the previous shloka are very, very similar. Actually, the second, third and fourth lines are same only. The first line alone, there is a small difference. The difference is the word Agni of the previous shloka is replaced by the word Vayu. So, we need not have to go into the details of the meaning of this shloka. Whatever was said with respect to Agni in the Agni Drishtanta, Agni example, is just applied to this Vayu, Vayu Drishtanta also. So it says, Vayu is Ekaha, one. Vayu is unlocated and is unlimited. And that one Vayu is manifest in different bodies. And the manifested Vayu is called Pranaha. When it is manifest in the body, it is called Pranaha. So, Prana Rupena, Pranamaya Kosha Rupena, it is manifest in every living being. And in between living beings also, Vayu is there, but in unmanifest form. Because there is no medium. And since it is not manifest in between beings, we conclude that Vayu is located in the body only, it has limitation and it also is plural in number, similar to the previous case. So plurality, localization and limitation are all erroneous, the mistakes we commit. And just as we commit the mistake in the case of Vayu, we commit the same mistake in the case of Atma also. So even now, for many scientists, consciousness is a limited and temporary faculty only in the brain of a person. And as many brains are there, they think there are as many consciousness also. And they think as long as the brain is functioning, consciousness also will be functioning. At the time of death, brain becomes non-functional and the consciousness will be gone. So they talk about the arrival, the departure, the location, the plurality of consciousness. So all these are mistakes. Arrival, etc., belong to the brain only and not to the consciousness. So rupam, rupam, pratirupo bahischa. Vayu is inside and outside the body. Pratirupo bahischa. So is consciousness also. And this is the second example. Vayu Drishtanta, similar to the Agni Drishtanta we saw in the previous shloka. I didn't go into the meaning of the other three lines because they are same like the previous shloka. Shloka number 11.
Suryo yatha sarva lokasya chakshuh na lipyate chakshushair bahya doshah ekastata sarva bhutantaratma na lipyate loka dukhena bahyah.
So with two examples in the previous mantra, the Agni Drishtanta and Vayu Drishtanta, Yamadharmaraja established that Atma is one, ekaha. Sarvagataha cha, it is all pervading also. So Atma is one and is also all pervading. So now this, through this example, the Surya Drashtanta, not only Atma is one and all pervading, the all pervading Atma cannot be contaminated, cannot be polluted by anything in creation. Pervasion cannot cause pollution. Normally, anything, for example, if you take Vayu itself, air, it pervades this entire hall. And this hall has, let us say, has some fragrance. There are some flowers, some fragrance. What happens? The Vayu itself carries the fragrance. Vayu is called Gandhavahana. The Vayu becomes fragrant because of that. Because of what? Association with the fragrant flower or any entity that can give fragrance, like spray or whatever. And that fragrant Vayu that travels, so we are all able to smell the fragrance. That is why Vayu is called Gandhavahana, the one who carries fragrance. We know, they make, for example, next door somebody makes a nice dish, we know, because that beautiful flavor comes through the air. So generally we know association leads to pollution. Similarly, we may have a doubt, for example, that Atma gets associated with the body-mind complex. Therefore, Atma also may get polluted, like what, the air. That is why we talk about Mahatma, Duratma, Dushtatma, all those things. Yamadharmaraja says, there is also an erroneous conclusion. Atma is asangaha. No association for Atma. Atma is in association with all but does not talk either the positive or negative aspect of the object. Atma never takes any of them. And to convey the asangatva nature, non-associative nature of the Atma, Yamadharmaraja takes the Surya Prakasha Drishtantaha, the sunlight example. For example, in the morning, we see the sunlight rising and spreading all over the earth. Actually, the moonlight example is taken by Shankaracharya in Saundarya Lahari. He says, Drisha Dragiyasya Dara Dalita Nilotpala Rucha Daviyamsam Deenam Snapaya Kripaya Mamapi Shive Anenayam Danyaha Bhavati Nachate Hani Nirasa Vaneva Harmyeva Samakara Nipato Himakaraha. Whether it is the moonlight example he is taking, the moonlight spreads all over. It is everywhere. Samakara nipato himakaraha. It is same everywhere. The sunlight spreads over the entire earth. Gangajalam also spreads. But the sunlight does not get either the good or evil property of the object it spreads over. The light itself, when it spreads over this book, for example, there may be dust on the book. But the light does not become dusty. So the light does not get the dosha, the shabda, sparsha, rupa, rasa, gandha. None of the properties of the illuminated object affects the light. In Sanskrit, we put it in the form of a rule. Prakashya, prakashya gunaha, prakashakam na limpati. The attributes of the illumined object does not affect the illuminating light. So, if the light falls on water, it does not get wet. If it falls on a fire, it does not get burnt. It is achedyoyam, adahyoyam, akledyaha, asoshyaha. As Krishna said in the in the Bhagavad Gita. It is because light is far away. Is it so? No. Light is intimately pervading the water, intimately in association with water, but that light does not get wet. Similarly, the Atma, the Chaitanyam, it spreads over the body, which is full of impurities, doshas. It spreads over the mind, which is full of greater and greater impurities, raga, dvesha, kama, krodha, lobha, maha, matsarya. So much of doshas are there. But the Atma Chaitanyam has no attachment whatsoever, no raga. That is why Acharya, he wrote, name dvesha ragau, name lobha mohau, madonaiva, menaiva, matsarya bhavaha, na dharmo, na charto, na kamo, na mokshaha, chidananda rupaha, shivoham, shivoham. And that is the essence of the shloka. Now let us look at the shloka itself. Suryaha. Suryaha means the sunlight. We are not talking about the solar disk. We are talking, which is very, very far away. We are talking about the light, the solar light, which pervades the entire earth. Solar disk has a form, but this is solar light. That formless pervading light is referred here as Suryaha. And what does it do? Sarva lokasya chakshuhu. It's a very, very important example. In Vedanta, Surya Prakasha is repeatedly quoted. Krishna himself borrows in the 13th chapter. Yata prakashayatyekaha krishnam lokamimam ravihi. Kshetram kshetri tata krishnam prakashayati bharata. It is a very beautiful example. Light illumines every object. Consciousness also illumines every object, makes the object knowable. Similarly, every object knowable because of what? Consciousness only. And how many such lights are there? Ekaha, only one sunlight, which is enough to illumine the entire earth. Yata prakashayatyekaha krishnam. So the sun is called loka chakshuhu. It is like the eye of the world. For comparison. So, tachakshur devahitam purastat shukram uccharat pashyema sharadasatam jivema sharadasatam nandama sharadasatam, all that thing. It is the eye. Na lipyate doshaihi. That sunlight spreads over the entire world, but it is not tainted, affected by the impurity of the world. And there are two types of impurities also. Chakshusha doshaha and bahya doshaha. Chakshusha doshaha means inner impurities, which are invisible impurities. You cannot see them. And bahya doshaha, they are the outside impurities. They are visible. For example, dust, foul smell, etc. are bahya doshaha. And then what are inner impurities? Shankaracharya tells in his commentary. Actually, Shastra tells that there are certain things that you should not see. For example, Shastra prohibits not to see certain things. And when you see things which are banned, because of seeing that, you are supposed to get a dosha, a papam. Similarly, hearing which are not to be heard, like gossip, those kind which are very common. More people are interested only in gossip. So that is a dosha also. Reading certain things, smelling certain things, drinking certain things, they all will give dosha. They are all called chakshushaihi. Means this is antara doshaha, inner impurities. Shankaracharya says, adhyatmika doshaha, inner papam born out about the abuse of sense organs, sensory abuse. With those, the light is not polluted. Papa or impurity, sunlight does not get anything for sunlight. Ekastatam sarvabhutantaratma. Similarly, untainted is the Atma Chaitanyam, which is in and through everything in creation. So here Bhuta refers to living beings and not the Pancha Bhutas. It's a living being, any living being means Sharira. So Sarva Bhuta Antaratma, Sarva Sharira Antaratma, and it is intimately associated with the body. So the physical impurities of the body, they do not taint this Surya Prakasha. And the inner impurities like raga, dvesha, kama, krodha, those impurities which belong to the subtle body, sukshma shariram, the sukshma sharira, the ashuddhi, it does not paint the Atma. Na lipyate loka dukkhena. And why it is not affected? Bahyaha. It is asangaha. It is above that. It is not associated with them. So here it is above means not physically above, but it is in and through them, but transcends them in the sense it is not tainted by them. It is not affected by them. The Atma, the sunlight. Just as the screen in the movie, in and through every character in the movie, even though they all appear and go in the movie, the screen never gets affected by any character on the movie. It may be raining, the screen doesn't get wet. It may be burning something in the screen, screen doesn't get burnt. So same way, the screen is above the characters, not polluted. Whatever happens in the movie, fire, rain, etc. in the movie, none of them would affect the screen. Similarly, this is bahyaha, means asangaha, unassociated, unaffected. Shloka 12.
Eko vashi sarva bhutantaratma eka rupam bahudha yakkaroti tamatmastam yenu pashyanti dhiraha tesham sukham shashvatam netaresham.
Another very important shloka. This is a complete mantra actually. First two lines about Paramatma. They talk about the Paramatma. And the third line talks about the Aikyam, the oneness of the Paramatma with the Jivatma. And the fourth line gives the benefit of knowing this fact. So this is called a that's why we said this is a complete mantra. Paramatma Swarupam, Jivatma Aikyam, and Jivatma Aikya Jnana Palam. All the three are given here. That's why we call it a complete shloka. Now, what is the nature of this Paramatma that is defined as here? As Ekaha. It is one, all-pervading, space-like consciousness without a second. There is none second to that. And Vashi. Vashi means Swatantaraha. Literally, Vashi means control. Vashi, having control. Here it is Swatantaraha. That means consciousness is an independent entity. It does not depend on matter for its existence. It is independent. We think that consciousness requires a brain for its existence. That's what scientists perhaps think. Vedantin does not accept that. He says consciousness requires a brain for its manifestation. They don't say consciousness requires a brain only for its manifestation. Without brain, consciousness cannot manifest, but it can exist. Existing is different from manifestation. Just as electricity can exist without a bulb, but expresses a light through the bulb. The same way, consciousness does not depend on matter, whereas matter depends on consciousness. So, Vashi. Vashi means Swatantaraha. And where is this consciousness? If somebody asks, Sarva Bhutantaratma. It is the very inner essence, ultimate content of every living being, which we have seen in all the three previous mantras, 9, 10 and 11, we have seen all of them. Like the invisible thread behind all the beads of a garland. All our bodies are visible beads. Some are emerald, some are sapphire, some are fake, all these bodies. We have got varieties of bodies of different nature. So we are all only beads and flowers. All are threaded together by an invisible thread called Chaitanyam. And what does this consciousness do? Eka rupam sat, meaning in its own changeless, non-dual, indivisible nature, remaining bahudha ekaroti. It seemingly becomes many, bahudha, many. So it is, so vivarta upadana karana. So remaining on, it seemingly appears, remaining one, it seemingly appears as many. Just as a waker, remaining as a waker, he seemingly divides into many for dream transactions. In the dream, he divides himself into many. And even during the dream transaction, he is sound and safe on bed. But in the dream world, there are so many things created. And even when the whole dream is resolved, the non-dual waker, he continues. So he was there earlier. During dream, he was there. So many things happen during the dream. Dream, after the dream, he continues. So, swasvarupam aparityagenam rupantarapattihi. So, remaining in Advaitic form, it appears as pluralistic. it is totally Advaitam, but appears as plural. So where we can find that wonderful consciousness, Swatantra Chaitanyam, where can we find that? If somebody asks that question, then the teacher says, Atmastham, the all-pervading consciousness resides in your own body. Here Atma means Shariram. We have to note that it is not Sachidananda Atma, it is Atma the body, and Stham means residing. So Atma is residing in one's own body. What is residing? The all-pervading, indivisible, seemingly pluralistic consciousness is in your own body. In what form? In the form of the witness consciousness, as I, the experiencer of the body, the I, the subject matter. So when we say in the body, we should not keep on searching for it. You will only find every other thing other than consciousness in the body. When we say inside the body, don't be looking all inside the body. It is not within the mind also. The mind has got all the ragadveshas, kamakrodhas. In your mind, it is available as you, the experiencer, not as an object of experience. Consciousness is available in the mind as the experiencer. That means what? Atma rupena, as the subject I, and not as the experienced object. In this form, the Paramatma is there. And when this Paramatma obtains in the body, what we call it as what? We call it a Jivatma. When the Paramatma obtains in the body, we call it a Jivatma. So, Sarvagata Paramatma, Jivatma Rupena, Antakarana Vritti Bhava Abhava Sakshi Rupena, Sarvada Tishtati. And the teacher says, Dhiraha Anupashyanti. Only some rare seekers, Dhiraha, they recognize this fact. Dhiraha means Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampannaha, Adhikarinaha, those people who are eligible, who have got all the qualifications, Viveka, Vairagya, Shamadhi, Shatka Sampattihi, Mukshutvam, those people, Vivekinaha, the prepared student, he alone will recognize that Brahman as I am. The unprepared student will make the blunder of looking for that consciousness all over the place. And for some days they will look outside, then some days they will look within. Yamadharmaraja says, Paramatma is neither outside nor inside, but it is you. It is neither outside nor inside, it is you. So only those people with sukshma buddhi, the subtle intellect, they alone will recognize this fact, and that also Anu, with the help of Guru Shastra Upadesha. A prepared intellect is not sufficient alone. It should be assisted by a Guru Shastra. So Guru Shastra Upadesha, indicated by the prefix in the shloka as Anu. Okay. And by gaining this knowledge, what benefit they will get? Tesham Sukham Shashvatam. The greatest benefit is that they know that I am not the mortal body. I am not limited to the body, but I am the immortal, limitless, infinite consciousness. So the fear of mortality is gone. Sense of limitation is gone. And that is called Purnatva Darshanam. Aham Purnaha Asmi. Purnatva Darshanam, or owning up the fact that I am ever full. I don't lack anything. Since this Purnatvam or fullness is born out of Jnanam, out of wisdom, it continues to remain all the time. Anything that is born out of Jnanam will only stay. All other things will leave because they are not born out of knowledge. So, experienceable happiness is subject to arrival and departure. But the discovery of Purnatvam, which is born out of wisdom, will remain all the time, is not subject to arrival and departure. So, Shashvatam Sukham, that is called Jivan Muktihi, permanent fulfillment. Things arrive in life, but I am full. Things go away from life, but still I am full. Remember the Gita Shloka there actually, Apuryamanam Achala Pratishtam. The ocean is ever full, whether the rivers pour water into the ocean or they dry up. The ocean is ever full.
the fullness of the ocean is unaffected. So I am full like the ocean, which is called Jivan Mukti. So what is the phalam? Moksha. Jivan Mukti is moksha. And is this knowledge one of the means for moksha? Yamadharma Raja says, no, this is the only means of permanent shanti, fulfillment. No alternative methods. The Upanishad clearly says, na itaresham. Itaresham means all the other people who pursue different other means, they cannot get Purnatvam at all. Does that mean you have to renounce all other sadhanas? That question might come. No, we do not criticize other sadhanas. Let a person continue them, no problem at all. But what we say is, one should not stop with them. They should follow to prepare the mind. But ultimately, all of them have to come to this self-knowledge only for moksha. So through the door of self-knowledge alone, Purnatvam is possible, na itaresha. No other alternatives are available. Shloka 13.
Nityo nityanam chetanas chetananam eko bahunam yo vidatati kamane tamatmastam yenu pasyanti dhiraha tesham shanti shashvati netaresham.
So, similar idea, like what was done earlier, same previous shloka, like previous shloka. The first two lines again, they talk about the Paramatma Swarupam, the nature of Paramatma. And the third line reveals the Aikyam, and the fourth line gives the Jnanapala. These are all very important shlokas, because each shloka completely conveys the total idea. So what is the nature of Parabrahma, the Brahman, Paramatma? Nityaha. It is the only permanent thing. And where it is located? Anityanam. It is amidst every impermanent thing. It is the only Nitya Vastu located amidst every impermanent thing. Otherwise, what we will think? The whole world is impermanent. Brahman is said to be permanent, and so it should be far beyond somewhere else, because the whole world is impermanent. And Brahman is permanent, that's what we say. So it should be far away. No. This Brahman is permanent among anityanam, in the midst of every impermanent thing. And so I renounce the world and go in search of Brahman elsewhere if I think Brahman is going to be far away. Yamadharma Raja says, wherever Anitya Vastu is there, in the same place the Nitya Vastu is also there. Where your body is there, in and through the very mortal body is the immortal Chaitanyam. In what form? The very consciousness in the body. And again, to come back to the same example of light, the light that is in and through your moving hand, the very light is permanent. The hand may be removed from this place to another place. The hand might come back also, but the light remains in the same place. Similarly, in the body, every micrometer I touch, I feel what? I feel the consciousness. I am conscious of everything, and the very consciousness is Nityaha. And Chetanaha Chetananam, it is the very consciousness present in every living being. So Chetananam means sentient living beings. In every sentient being, the Chaitanyam is there in the form of the very sentiency. In every conscious being, Chaitanyam is there in the form of the very consciousness itself. Chetanaha means Chaitanya Swarupaha. And how many such consciousness are there? Ekaha. That consciousness is only one. It is non-dual principle. And this consciousness alone, with the power of Maya, is called Ishvara. So this Paramatma plus Maya is called Ishvara. So Maya Sahita Chaitanyam is called Ishvara. There is no difference between Paramatma and Ishvara. Paramatma with all the powers, the Shakti, is called Ishvara. And in the form of Ishvara, what does that Paramatma do? Bahunam Kaman Vidadhati. From Jnanakanda, Yamadharma Raja goes to Karmakanda here. The very same Paramatma in the Karmakanda fulfills the desires of all people. Kaman Vidadhati. bahunam. When the Sakama Bhakta worships the same Paramatma for various goals in life, the very same Lord fulfills all his desires. Even vihitan hitan. And therefore, bahunam kamam. Kaman. So, bhaktanam kaman. So, prapanna, parijataha, all those. So, is that Paramatma vidadati fulfills? How does he fulfill? In keeping with their efforts. Shankaracharya, he adds a note, karma anurupam kaman vidadati. That is the nature of Paramatma. And where is that Paramatma located? Then we come to the third line, which is the same as the third line of the previous shloka. And that Paramatma is very much in your own body mind complex. Not as an object, but as you yourself, the experiencer of your knowledge, thoughts, ignorance, blankness. The experiencer of all of them, it exists in you. As the very Sakshi Chaitanya Rupena, that Paramatma is there in you. But Dhiraha Anupashyanti, only few seekers, Dhiraha, they recognize this fact. Majority think that Paramatma is seated somewhere and they have to travel and travel and merge with Paramatma at a particular place and time. That's what they say. They have to die. Go and merge with the Paramatma. They are gross-minded ones. The subtle-minded ones, they recognize Aham Brahma Asmi. And what is the result of that experience? When a person has that knowledge, Tesham Shantihi, peace of mind for them. The life is fulfilled. Journey is over. They are contented. I feel I have made my life. And that too, what type of Shanti? Shashwati Shantihi. Not a temporary peace, but permanent, everlasting peace. So, Tesham Shashwati Shantihi Bhavati Na Itaresham. If you try to find the same peace of mind elsewhere, even if you get, it will be a piece of peace only. It will not be total peace. Only which will go to pieces after maybe a few seconds. It will not be Shashwati Shantihi. Permanent peace is only in Atmajnanam, and so come to Atmajnanam. So these two beautiful verses, they are complete verses. That's why I call them complete verse. Mahavakya mantra they are. They are complete. They talk about Aikyam and everything. Shloka 14. Tate tatiti manyante anirdeshyam paramam sukham katham nu tadvijaniyam vijaniyam kim bhati vibhati va. So this shloka is in the form of a question. We can assume that this is a question form from Nachiketas. Or we can assume that Yamadharmaraja himself is raising this question within quotation and he himself is answering. We can assume whichever way we want. So let us assume Nachiketas is making this question. As a bright boy, he can ask these questions. Tat anirdeshyam paramam sukham. Paramam sukham, Brahmananda or Atmananda is considered to be the highest ananda possible. Anirdeshyam, paramam sukham, highest ananda. And what type of sukham? Nirdeshyam, which is said to be inexplicable, which cannot be described. So, Brahmananda or Atmananda is considered to be superlative ananda or the highest ananda which cannot be described, which is not describable, explicable. But the wise people refer to this ananda intimately as this ananda. That is what they refer to this. Yetat iti manyante. They mean what? This is not an object, but something intimately available ananda. That is what the wise people say about this. Available for whom? For themselves. For the wise people. Therefore, tat anirdeshyam param sukham. That superlative, inexplicable ananda, some wise people refer to as etat iti manyante. That means what? Not some remote concept it is, but as intimately available to them. Now, Nachiketas wants to know, how can I accomplish that Brahmananda? Katham nu Tad vijaniyam. How can I make that ananda accessible to me, available to me, experienceable by me, cognizable by me? How to make it aparoksham? How to make that paroksha jnana into aparoksham? So parokshatvena, so uchyamanam tatsukam katam aham aparokshatvena jnaniya. That's what he was. He says the jnaniya. So how can I convert the paroksha jnanam into aparoksha jnanam? Kim u bhati? Is it available? Is it experienceable? Is it visible? Is it perceptible? Because the wise people refer to it as what? As this ananda. As this ananda means very intimate to them. The word this can be used for only something that is closely available to you. Otherwise they will say that ananda. They refer to this as intimately. Is it evident? Kim u bhati? Is it available? Vibhati va? Or is it distinctly perceptible? So visheshena bhati va? Or not? Or is it not distinctly available? So is it distinctly available or is it not distinctly available? How to gain Brahmananda? It is easily available or difficultly available? That is the critical question that Nachiketas is posing. And now Yamadharmaraja is now cornered. He has to give the answer. What answer he gives in the next mantra that we will read? It's a very popular mantra, Shloka 15. Natatra suryo bhati chandra tarakam. Nema vidyuto bhanti katoyam agnihi tameva bhantam anubhati sarvam tasya bhasa sarvamitam vibhati. So this shloka is from actually the Mundaka Upanishad and a very important mantra, very relevant to Nachiketas's question. What is the question? How to experience Brahmananda? How to accomplish that? That is the question. And the answer Yamadharmaraja gives is, Brahmananda is never an object of experience. So Brahmananda can never be attained in the form of a particular experience. Because the moment you reduce Brahmananda into a form of experience, ordinary or extraordinary experience, you are limiting Brahmananda to time, space and condition. That's what we will be doing. Because every experience is an event in time. Therefore, we say all experienceable pleasures, they all come under Vishaya Ananda only, objective Ananda only. Then what will be the next question? If Brahmananda cannot be confirmed to a form of experience, then what is Brahmananda? For which Yamadharmaraja, he gives the answer that Brahmananda is not a time-bound experience. Brahmananda is of the nature of the very Chaitanyam, the very consciousness itself. And when we say Brahmananda as consciousness, the word Ananda should be translated as what? Anantaha also. Brahmananda is Brahman, the Anantaha, the limitless principle. And the limitless Brahman, Anantam Brahma, is not an experience in time. But it is the very consciousness itself, which never comes or goes. Therefore, how should you accomplish Brahmananda? Only in the form of jnanam. Only in the form of wisdom. And what type of wisdom? The wisdom that Brahmananda is the very Chaitanyam aham. Chaitanya rupa ahameva Brahmananda. It is not an experience which is going to come and disappear in time, which is the very I, which exists before the arrival of experience, is there during the presence of all the experiences and continues to be there even after the experience goes away. So Brahmananda is not a specific experience, but it is the consciousness which is the substratum of all the experiences. If Brahmananda is understood as consciousness, when is it available? We have to answer. You should not answer, you should ask a counter question, when is it not available? Therefore, Brahmananda is ever experienced by everyone as the very I, the conscious principle. And so, to define Brahmananda, Yamadharmaraja, he defines consciousness itself. He says, Tatra suryaha na bhati. Sunlight does not illumine consciousness.
In fact, it is the other way around actually. Consciousness illumines, makes the sunlight known. The light illumines the book. The book does not illumine the light. Similarly, na chandra tarakam, the moonlight does not illumine the consciousness. It is the vice versa. Tarakam, the starlight does not illumine consciousness. Vidyutaha, flashes of lightning, however powerful they may be, they may illumine the entire earth multifold, but the lightning does not illumine the consciousness. On the other hand, lightning is illumined, is known by consciousness. Then what about fire, light, flame? When the powerful sun and lightning, they cannot illumine consciousness, what to talk of feeble flame or fire? Therefore, kutaha ayam agnihi. Kutoyam agnihi, kutaha ayam agnihi. How can an ordinary flame illumine the consciousness, the Paramatma? And that is the reason they chant this mantra during Deeparadhana. When they do Deeparadhana, normally they chant this mantra. How can an ordinary flame can illumine this Paramatma? The Ishvara inside, it cannot. Because Deeparadhana is shown with a bit of a camphor only. How can it illumine? So he says, how can this miserable camphor flame illumine the consciousness principle? Then what is the fact? Consciousness is ever the illuminator. It is never illumined. It is ever the experiencer, never experienced. Ever the I, the subject, never the object. In the technical language, we say it aprameyaha, not an object of any instrument of knowledge. So, sarva pramana agocharam, not available for any instruments of perception. Then the question comes, if it is never known, how do we know that that consciousness exists? Because it is never known, then how do you know it exists at all? For that, Yamadharma Raja answers, it is never experienced, all right, but all the experiences are possible because of consciousness only. You don't have to see consciousness on the stage. You do not have to hear. But if you are able to see the form or hear the sound, it is because of what? You being the very conscious principle. That is why you are able to do it. Therefore, it proves everything. It does not require any proof itself. So, it is like what? That in every photo picture, the camera is never seen, but no one doubts the existence of a camera. Because the very possibility of every picture is because of a camera. Similarly, everything I experience is because I am a conscious entity. So, Yamadharma Raja says, sarvam tameva anubhati. Everything in creation is known only because of that self-evident, self-revealing, self-proven consciousness. Swamiji uses all these words so specifically. Which is bantam, which is self-proved, self-evident. In Sanskrit, we use the word swayam prakashaha, swayam jyotihi, svatasiddhaha. It is that consciousness. And tasya bhasa, because of the light of consciousness, light is only a figurative expression here, we have to understand. Idam sarvam vibhati, every object is known because of that subject alone. That you are ananda, you need not accomplish ananda. And when I say you are ananda, I mean you are anantaha also, you are infinite. And when I say you are anantaha, you are not limited by your body, by your own thoughts. The whole creation is resting in you and everything belongs to you. And that is a teaching. With that, the second section is concluded. Now let us go to the third section and the final section of Kathopanishad. And in this section, Yamadharma Raja, he deals with the central theme of Kathopanishad of Atma Vidya or Brahma Vidya, which was sought by Nachiketas through the third boon, if you remember the story. So then he will talk about the Brahma Vidya Sadhanani, the preparatory disciplines required for Brahma Vidya. He will talk about that also. And finally, Yamadharma Raja will deal with the topic of
Brahma Vidya Phalam, the benefit of this knowledge. So Brahma Vidya Sadhanani, and Brahma Vidya Phalam, these are going to be the three topics of this section. And even though Yamadharmaraja has dealt with all the three topics before, he is repeating them again by way of conclusion. So this is Upasamhara Rupena. He is repeating these three topics. So Mantra 1, Part 2, Section 3, Mantra 1. Urdvamulo vavashakha yesho svattasanatanaha tadeva shukram tad brahma tadeva amrita muchyate tasmil loka shrita sarve tadunatyeti kaschana etad vaitate. So in the initial first three verses, Yamadharmaraja talks about the nature of Brahman, Brahma Swarupam. This is an important mantra, and based on this mantra, we have got the well-known verses in Bhagavad Gita. Urdhamulam adashakam ashvattam prahuravyayam in the Purushottama Yoga 15th chapter and all that. So Krishna has borrowed many shlokas from Kathopanishad, this mantra also. Najayate mriyate va kadachit, again from Kathopanishad. Subhautauna vijanitaha nayam hantina hanyate, again from Kathopanishad. So Ascharyo Vakta Kushalosya Labdham, Ascharyo Jnatam Kushalanushishtaha, all those things, they also, Krishna borrows all those things also. Ascharyavatim Paschati Kashchidenam, all these shlokas Krishna borrows from here. And even this mantra Krishna borrowed in the Gita also. In this mantra, first Yamadharmaraja compares the whole creation to the Ashwatha tree. Ashwatha tree means a people tree. And then Brahman is going to be presented as the very support of this tree. So Jagat Adharaha. So Jagat Karanam Brahman is going to be the very support of this tree. And Shankaracharya, he writes a very elaborate commentary showing how this Ashwatha tree has several things. Brahman and Ashwatha tree have several things in common. So Shankaracharya writes elaborate things in this commentary. And what are the common features? Shankaracharya mentions many. We will see some interesting commonness. One, Mahatvam. Both are very vast in size. Ashwatha tree is huge with a vast spread. And so is the universe. Mahan Prapanchaha, whose limits we cannot even imagine. And they talk about an expanding universe. It is still expanding. Then Adi Anta Rahitatvam, both. We cannot talk about the beginning of the universe, nor the tree. If you look at the tree, we think it has come from the seed. It appears as though the seed is the beginning of the tree. But if you analyze more, we know that the seed itself is the product of the previous tree and goes on and on. Then what came first, seed or the tree? In the same way, we cannot talk about the end also, because the present tree will produce more seeds. So Adi and Anta cannot be talked about for this tree. Similarly, for creation also, I will come to the same cycle. How did this creation come into being? Because of our karma. And because of our Punya Papa, this creation has come into being. In fact, to exhaust our karma, this universe has to come into being. And how did this Punya Papa come? Because of the previous creation, where we have done lot of good and bad actions. And it goes on forever. So karma came from Janma, or otherwise, we have to keep on asking that question. One cannot trace which is the cause and which is the effect. And so it is anadihi. As said in the, actually in the Brahma Sutra, na karma avibhagat neti chet na anadityat. And how do we say it is anadi? Upapadye chapi upalabhyate. Similarly, will this be the last creation? Again, no. More karma done, producing more punya papa and so on. So, narupam asyekam tatopalabhyate nanto na chadirna cha sampratishta. Krishna said actually in the 15th chapter, you cannot talk about the beginning and end of a tree. So is the world. So Adi Antarahitatvam is the second common feature between the Sashvata tree and creation, Brahman. And the third, Anirvachaniyatvam, it is inexplicable, corollary of the previous one. Inexplicable means what? You cannot say whether the thing is a cause or an effect. Just as the tree is a cause or effect, if you ask, it is cause from the standpoint of the next tree, next seed, or tree and an effect with respect to the previous seed. So we cannot, so that is why we are not able to understand clearly fate and free will also, because they are also mutually cause and effect. So nothing is clearly definable. In Sanskrit it is called anirvachaniyam. So Krishna says, na rupam upalabhyate, means it is inexplicable. And scientifically speaking also, they are trying to understand the universe more and more, getting deeper and deeper, it becomes more vague and inexplicable. So anirvachaniyatvam is common to the universe and the tree. And fourth commonality, Shankaracharya says, there is an invisible root underneath the visible tree, which nourishes the tree, because of which the tree exists. I know there is a root. I cannot see the root. It is inferred. Just as every tree has got the invisible root under the tree, for this vast universe also, there is an invisible Atma, the Adharaha Ashrayaha. So, Vishwadharam Gagana Sadrisham. And this Ishvara is never visible to our sense organs. He is Indriya Agocharaha. The tree is also Indriya Gocharaha, the root is Agocharaha. Similarly, the world is Indriya Gocharaha, root of the world, Ishvara, is Agocharaha. So both have got invisible Moolam, the root, Adharaha or Ashrayaha. So next common feature is Moolatvam. And the fifth common feature is both have branches spreading widely. For the Ashvatha tree, the spreading branches are three. Some are upper branches, some are middle branches, and some are the lower ones. In the same way, the universe also has got several layers, and each branch is a loka. We have got Urdhva loka, comparable to the Samsara Vriksha, like Bhuvar loka, Suvar loka, Mahar loka, all that thing. So, and we have got a middle branch called the Bhuloka, and there are a lot of lower branches, Atala, Vitala, Sutala, Rasatala, Talatala, Mahatala, Patala loka, all those things. So, all these 14 branches total. So the fifth common feature is Shakavatvam. Both tree and the universe have got Shakas. And sixth common is Palavatvam. Any tree will produce Palam or fruit. That is the ultimate contribution of the tree. Three types of Pala, very sweet, bitter and neutral, all kinds of. So in the same way, the universe also, university also gives three types of Palam. Sukham, very sweet. Dukham, very bitter. And Mishra Palam, it's a neutral, Sukham and Dukkha mixed. So both the tree and the universe have got Palavatva. And the seventh commonality is, because of the availability of the fruits, many birds come to the tree. They build nests and reside or dwell on the branches of the tree. So the tree becomes Pakshi Ashrayaha, because it produces fruits and lends itself as a support. There are many pakshis dwelling, because of which it is a very noisy tree. So their noise has got some message, some of them indicating good thing, some of them bad things. Similarly, this universe tree also provides support for all the pakshis, the jivatma birds. We have built our nest, namely the physical body, on the 14 branches, on the Bhuloka branch. There is the nest called so and so. Sometimes this nest is destroyed accidentally, accidental death, natural death. And sometimes the nest is changed from lower branch to the upper branch. So, Pakshi Ashrayatvam is there for the tree and the Samsara Vriksha, and we have got a noisy world. And the eighth commonality is, even though the Ashvatha Vriksha is very big, with a big trunk, branches, tall, even such a big tree is moved by powerful winds, cyclonic wind. So it has chalanatvam, chalanavatvam. In the same way, the huge samsara vriksha also is moved by the wind of prarabdha karma, swayed by the karma. Every individual moves, all caused by not only by my karma, but the karma of the surroundings also. If you take the world as a whole, by the samashti karma, the whole world is swayed here and there. So chalanavatvam is the next common feature between these two. And the ninth commonality, actually we will stop with this one. There are so many already we have listed. Even though Shankaracharya goes on, let us stop here. Even though this Ashwatha Vriksha seems to be anadi and ananta and so vast, it can be uprooted. It is possible to destroy the tree. Though it's not easy, it is possible to destroy this tree. But cutting off the branches, then trunk, and ultimately removes the very root itself. So it is permanently destroyed. In the same way, even though the samsara is anadi and ananta, still this samsara can be destroyed, uprooted by the sword of self-knowledge or jnanam. So asangam shastrena dridhena chitva tata param tad parimargitavyam yasmin gata na nivasanti bhuyaha. So that's what Krishna said. It is cuttable. It is destructible. In Sanskrit, chedyatva means chid, to cut. Chedyam can be destroyed. And for this vast Ashwatha Vriksha, like universe, Brahman is the Adhara. And the Brahman is the one which is your nature, that Atma. So that is how the teaching is going to be. With this background, we will look at these mantras in the next webinar. Yo vedadau swara prokto vedante cha pratishtitah tasya prakritilinasya yaparasa maheshwarah sri krishna atmanastu.